Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Another great 2 hours for a Friday afternoon for you here on Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Father Philip Bochansky will be here. He's the Executive Director of Courage International, and we're going to talk with him about same-sex attraction, always a big topic and one we're very happy to get a chance to talk about. This hour, getting over yourself. Is it possible to get over yourself, or is it desirable to get over yourself? Maybe it's an essential key to our happiness to do that. That's probably a harsh message in a world that wants you to be preoccupied with yourself, constantly working on yourself and buying products to make yourself happier and all that. And even if you wanted to, how would you go about getting over yourself? 888-318-7884 is a number. Turns out that getting over yourself is one of the great benefits of a life of prayer, and the sacramental life of the Church has lots of tools that can help us do just that. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is John Leonetti, author of several books, including Mission of the Family and Your God is Too Boring. But now he's got a new book, The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do. John Leonetti, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, Cy.
So why should I get over myself, John?
Well, because it's the only way to live. We all want to be happy, right? And in a world that is seeing and experiencing higher levels of stress and anxiety, and I'm going to pick on America here because I am American, than they've ever seen. In fact, young people right now are reportedly unhappier than they've ever been. You and I experiencing higher levels of stress and anxiety than even our parents. We're unhappier this year than we were last year. Many of the credible polls out there are saying we're not even in the top 10 list of countries. We're one of the wealthiest countries in the world, if not the wealthiest. We have everything at our disposal. And yet, as G.K. Chesterton said, why is it then that so many have nothing? And so I think the only way to be able to conquer this and to live the life that God's intended for us to live is to die. It's the exact opposite of what the world says, not to live, but to die. And that doesn't come from me, and it doesn't come from a cardinal at the Vatican sipping an espresso or maybe wine about now. But it comes from God himself, right? Our Lord, he says it right there. If you want to come after me, take up your cross daily and follow me.
And so when you say it that way, I suppose you can see why people avoid it, why we avoid it. The death to self sounds unattractive, but it's accompanied, of course, because our exemplar in this is Christ himself, by the certain knowledge that if we die to ourselves, we rise with him. And it's in that rising with him, in whether it's in small things or big, that we find our happiness. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, St. Paul says this is why the cross is such a stumbling block. It's why I wrote the chapter, I truly believe it's the most important chapter I've ever written. It was on it's on the cross in chapter 2, entitled Crossroads, because it's there that we find who we were actually created to be. But it is. It's a paradox. It is a stumbling block, as Paul says. No one got this. This was something that, you know, when Jesus says this to them, Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, I don't know about, I'm sure, these Catholic Answers listeners here, but in my experience, there are times where the priest or the deacon will be reading from the gospel, and my mind will kind of go astray. And I'll be thinking of a lot of other things and, you know, what I need to do, what's going to be happening, or what's for lunch, or whatever it is, right? And I think that happens with a lot of people. This was not something, and I think we have to be really clear about this, and if no one hears anything that we're talking about, Cy and I here, during this entire hour, this was not something that floated over the apostles' heads, because they were surrounded with the cross. This was, you know, the Romans' number one way of execution, ex cruce, you know, out from the cross, right? You have to lift your body out from the cross to even be able to breathe. This was not something that they did not know about. It, you know, the Romans perfected it. They perfected execution. And they got it from the Syrians, probably got it from the Persians, and goes back. But they perfected this form of torture, and they lined the streets with it. There's nowhere they could have gone. And yet Jesus says, that is what a life will be like rooted in me. That is where you must go. And he says, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to show you what this looks like, and I'm going to save you through that very cross. But this is where you have to go too. And I can't imagine their faces when he says this. I can't imagine, you know, preaching this to the early Christians. You know, now when I'm out giving a parish mission or his talk, and I give this whole talk about dying to ourselves, you know, I get a standing ovation, which is super uncomfortable because I just told them for an hour to die.
Yeah.
Right. And like, which is the opposite of like every motivational speech or talk that people are giving out there today. This is total opposite. It is to die. It is to lose yourself. Right. It is to be last, not to be first. And we give it standing ovations today, even within the church, but this was something the early Christians were grappling with. This was a struggle. This was, you know, something you ran from. You ran from the cross. You did not run to or with the cross. So when Paul talks about the stumbling block, he's meaning it. This was insane to them.
John Leonetti, our guest this hour, 888-318-7884, our number. The Art of Getting Over Yourself is John's newest book. John, let me ask you this, though. What about the person who hears this and says, well, this is a message of bringing down my self-esteem or beating myself up or getting me to wallow in guilt? What do you say to that person?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the exact page because I talk about this precisely in there. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, get over yourself. And so that just means I'm going to destroy my sense of self-worth. There it is, page 17, if you have the book in front of you. But that's entirely not what it's about. It's actually about to bring us up, right? It's not about beating yourselves up. I write in here this, you know, self-contempt, it's always self-destructive. So it's not beating yourself up or, you know, lowering yourself. It's actually raising you to the dignity that God created you to be able to be, right? Sometimes we think it means wallowing in our own guilt. That's what it means to kind of lessen myself. Now, guilt, I say, it's a healthy response to having done something wrong, but that's not supposed to, we're not supposed to remain there. It's supposed to be temporary to be able to reorder us back. And it's also not about tearing down our good qualities, right? You can't move past the place of constantly trying to improve yourself until you've come to recognize what's good about you. And that is precisely gift, gratitude, dying to oneself, service of one another. That's goodness. That's what we as a world raise up. And this isn't insane to a lot of us, right? Because the most attractive people in the world, the people we want to be around, are the least selfish. No one wants to be around selfish people. And none of us want to be selfish people. We don't wake up in the morning and say, I hope I can be so selfish today. No one strives for that. At least we try not to, right? But yet so many of us fall into it. What we strive for are the very qualities and the goodness, the virtue that the gospel brings to us. And that is letting go of all the things that I want and now live the way that he wants.
Well, I suppose that then the question is, if we become convinced of that, then how do I do it? And you do talk a great deal in the book, The Art of Getting Over Yourself, about the tools that are available to us to get over ourselves. Among those tools that you most emphasize is sacramental confession. And we get just a minute or so before the break. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could give us an idea of what's in the book about confession and why you put that there. And then we'll take a break and come back and take calls. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about The Art of Getting Over Yourself with its author, John Leonetti. John, tell us about why you put confession at the heart of this book.
Sure. The title of the chapter is The Second Greatest Gift to Conquer the World's Greatest Sin. What's the world's greatest sin? It's pride, right? It's being caught up in yourself. Augustine knew this. You know, a lot of people, when we think of St. Augustine, we think his biggest struggle or sin was lust. He saw it in the much bigger picture. He struggled with lust. There's no question about it. But he also saw that was a effect of the cause. The cause was pride within himself. So what's pride? Is it, I'm proud of my son, my four-year-old? Or my daughter, you know, am I proud of them? Of course, that's not the sin of pride that we speak of. My father being prideful of me when I was growing up and still is. And that's beautiful. I really appreciate that and I long to hear that. What pride is again, disorder, reorienting ourself inward rather than outward. So it's being caught up in yourself, wedded to your own ideas of success. Maybe you're too fixed on your own plans for your life or the plan you think the world needs to turn into or follow. Many today genuinely believe that they're the sole commanders of their own destiny. That's why I think the Divine Mercy Chaplet is so important. Jesus, I trust in you. And in all these ways, right, it puts us at odds. That's what pride does. Or in resistance to the divine will of God. And that's precisely what this book is trying to help us get over.
888-318-7884 is the number if you need help or would like some suggestions about getting over yourself, or if maybe you'd like to discuss with John your disagreement about that getting over yourself is all that important. The Art of Getting Over Yourself is the brand new book from John Leonetti. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with your calls for John Leonetti right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, everyone. This is country music artist Colin Ray. Do what I do and keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 11:15, some people said that Jesus drove out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Jesus responded that every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste. If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? But if it is by the finger of God that I drive them out, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Just as cancer turns the body against itself with the multiplying of out-of-control cells overcoming the healthy ones, serious sin snuffs out virtue in the soul. That is why such sin is called mortal or deadly. Unlike cancer, mortal sin has a cure that is readily available. The cure is repentance, a firm resolve to turn away from sin, and the forgiveness by our blessed Lord through the absolution he gives through his priests. It is by the finger of God that we are forgiven, and his kingdom is truly upon us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. John Leonetti is our guest, nationally known Catholic speaker, best-selling author, and, well, we hope best-selling author again with this latest book, The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do. You know, get over yourself is sometimes used in a very dismissive way, John. I wonder if you had any concern about that, or how do you settle on this is the title for this book?
Well, it was when I first heard it I remember I came home from a long stint on the road. In fact, it's the exact way I got this title. And I was on the road for about 2 weeks speaking, and I came back home, and everything wrong that could have happened on the road here went wrong. Delayed flights, missed flights, lost baggage, rude, you know, customer service, which anymore is just kind of a staple, right? And I came home and I was just so annoyed and I was angry, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I walk in and my wife's there kind of cuddled up on the couch, and she's got a blanket on, and she wakes up, and I sit next to her, and I mean, I just vent, sigh for like a solid minute and a half. And you know, like that's a long time when you're complaining one after the other, right? 90 seconds of just constant complaint. And I remember she looked over at me and she touched my leg, which means be quiet. And I kind of look over at her, and she says to me what have now become the most beautiful words I've ever heard. And she says, get over yourself.
And as only a wife can.
I said, excuse me? Did you not just hear what I went through? Did you not just know everything that happened to me? And she just looks, she smiles, she said, get over yourself. And so I went in the bedroom and I slept on my other side, you know, my other shoulder, which tells her I'm not very happy. And the next morning she was making eggs in the kitchen. I had this small little kitchen at the time. And I walk in and I said, honey, is there anything you'd like to say to me? And she says, no. And I thought, you know, still kind of angry and processing through this over the next few days, it just kind of dawned on me. Yeah. This is it. This is what life is all about. It is a constant get over. So who am I? You know, entitlement's kind of a root, not a root, but an offspring of pride, right? Entitlement that I deserve this or
yes,
I deserve that,
right?
You know, you don't deserve anything. We deserve hell, right? I mean, we've turned our backs on God. This is why we say in the Mass, don't consider what I truly deserve, Lord, please. And in his mercy, he doesn't. When we turn our hearts to him, that's mercy right there. And you know, to reorder ourselves back to him. So important. But that's when she said that to me, I knew it was going to be on the back burner to be able to write the book. And I said, I got to write that book because this is a letter to me. I always say the first book was a letter to my wife on what I wanted our family to be in the church. The second book was a letter to the world. Your God is too boring. So I think many people are getting God wrong today. And I think that's the root of so much problems in our own lives and in the world. And then this one, getting over yourself, it's a letter to me, right? Because I need it. When G.K. Chesterton was once asked, what's wrong with the world? He responded, I am. Oh. If there's anyone that could have listed, you know, a litany of what's wrong with the world, he said, whoa. He said, I'm the one that's wrong with the world. And that's true for me. And that's why I got to read and reread my own work to be able to get this stuff right.
888-318-7884 is the number. Just one more question for you, John, before we go to calls. And the lines are filling up, so I do want to get to those calls. But it strikes me that getting over yourself in the way that your wife so subtly encouraged you to in that instance, we all carry baggage from the past. I mean, how much of this process that you commend to us in the book is about processing the past and getting past what we've done and what's been done to us?
I wish it was an option and I wish there was another way. But Jesus says there's one. And he says it's a road less traveled. It's narrow. Those what you do to the least, you do unto me. And we can oftentimes think of the least as the poor beggar in the street right now, maybe in Calcutta or at another place, third world country. But I think Jesus is trying to refocus us back on who the least is in our own lives. You know, the person you consider the least, and maybe it's the person that's hurt you the most. You know, maybe it's the person that you have all that resentment towards.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when it comes down to it, you only love Jesus as much as you love the person in your life you can't stand the most. That's the bar he set. That's 101. You know, that for which you forgive will be, you know, given to you. You will be forgiven on account of how you forgive.
So right? You're saying I love Jesus as much as I love Nick? No, just kidding, Nick. Sorry.
But it's so true. And I oftentimes think that maybe one day when the Lord's judging me, he might judge me in the form of the person I can't stand the most, the person that occupies all my mind space. You know, and I have those people in my life that you say their name and my stomach turns, right? And maybe they're people that I should have forgotten about a long ago, and maybe they're people in my own family, and we have them. But that's where we have to start. You know, we can't start and giving up, you know, my house and possessions and going to, like I said, a third world country. And we oftentimes romanticize this, you know, and look at that. We have to start with those very people right here that are confronting me in my own life with forgiveness.
Yeah, you start one of the chapters with that beautiful quote from St. Teresa of Avila about if you want to make the world a happy place, go home and love your family.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of calls, though. John Leonetti, author of The Art of Getting Over Yourself. How about we go to the take some calls?
Let's do it.
Kyle in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. You are on with John Leonetti. What's your question?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask this question in light of, you know, kind of where we're at in our culture today. Our church needs to be one of mercy and compassion and meeting people where they're at to try to bring them into the fold. And I think our Holy Father is very, very good at modeling this aspect of our faith. But at the same time, our church has never been fully palatable to the societies that it's been a part of because of our uncompromising commitment to truth. And contrary to the beliefs of, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, our churches, not all gentleness, because at its core, we're founded on a rock and a cross. So my question is, in an effort to reach out to unbelievers or to our secular culture, is our church today overly willing to fudge on certain core Catholic principles and less willing to tell unbelievers and even some of our Catholic brothers and sisters, get over yourself?
All right. That's a fair question, Kyle.
This is the church.
John?
Yeah, I like that style. You know, I always there are a couple priests in my life that I know when I go into confession afterwards, you know, they're going to keep me there for about 5 or 6 minutes. And, you know, it's going to be tough. In fact, I like that challenge. And I think we as a church can't shy away from that. There's no question about it. But I think, you know, to answer your question, first of all, you know, do you think the church should accept everyone? The church does accept everyone, right? The Catholic faith does accept everyone. It's we who would reject truth or the church. So I think helping people understand that, and ourselves and myself included. My wife has an incredible story. You know, it was through the theology of the body that she was converted. But when I say converted, it was everything that the theology of the body stood for that she was against, right? And she read one book on our second date in 3 days that she said to me, she said, John, afterwards, I said, I want you to call me if you like it. If you don't like it, you don't ever have to call me again. This was our second date ever. Because I said, this is who I am. I said, I'm Catholic. You know, I'm all in with this, and I can't waste time with that. And I said, if you don't want anything to do with this, that's fine. I understand. But I said, keep the book, give it to someone else. So she read it in 3 days, and she called me up, and she said these words. She said, John, she said, I didn't understand a lot of it. And I thought, fair enough, right? I mean, it's a totally different language. But she said this. She said, the part that I did understand, she said, just made sense. She didn't say the part that I did understand I agreed with. Mm. She said it just made sense. And that would have been music to St. John Paul the Great's ears, because it was him, Fides et Ratio, faith and reason, that beautiful church document that he put out there. And he said, you know, faith and reason are like two wings of a bird. The human person can't fly, become who they're created to be, without both faith and reason. And so the church is there. They operate both on the reason aspect and the faith aspect. And it's very important for us to be able to get it. But I think that's the clarification we have to get, is a lot of times we do as a culture make the church out to be the bad guys, yeah, or the evil one. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. It's us who are willing to walk away or reject what it is that the church stands for. And what does the church stand for? I mean, the church just doesn't come up with these rules or regulations arbitrarily. Nowhere does the church ever come up with these sorts of things just because it sounds good or it feels good in the moment, right? And Pope Francis has been very clear about this. What we do is we dispense the gospel, right? I mean, we are the ones who are commissioned to evangelize it. The Pope was clear when, I believe it was 2013, when he said, if I wanted to change a church teaching, I couldn't, right? I don't have, it was some kind of church teaching that they confronted him with. He said, I don't have the authority to do so. And people are like, what? You're the Pope, right?
Yeah.
And I think that is why the church can be so hated,
yeah,
why the church can be mocked so easily, because it's all about submission, and not submission to an ideology or a philosophy like much of the world teaches, but a submission to a person, to God himself, a radical encounter with love himself. Truth isn't determined, it's found. Remember that. And if you're in the car, chalk that up in your mind. Truth is not determined. It's not something I come up with. Truth is found and offered to all of us.
And getting over yourself includes that, stopping the resistance to Christ himself and to, mm-hmm, Christ Church. Stop it, it, that's what I'm getting from you. That's part of what getting over yourself means, is letting go of your demands, I suppose, of other people, of God, of the church, and accepting the reality of the church and what Christ is offering there.
Yeah, that's why I'm Catholic, and that's why I'm all in. I'm all in because I'm broken. I'm a mess, and I need a Savior. And Christ Jesus has given us the church to be able to work through to encounter him in a deep and a radical way.
John Leonetti is our guest. The Art of Getting Over Yourself is the book, the subtitle, and why you'll be happier when you do.
888-31-TRUTH is our number, 888-318-7884. More calls for John Leonetti on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I don't want to brag, but I kind of want to brag. It's a good 2 hours we've got for you today. I also want to mention that our annual winter sale is underway. All books, CDs, DVDs, ebooks, tracks, and MP3s are on sale, and the sale runs until the last day of this year. Is that the 31st or 30th of December? I can't remember, Nick. Just use the promo code. He's looking it up. Just use the promo code. I think it's 30th. I really can never remember how long the months are. Okay, the promo code. Winter, W-I-N-T-E-R. It's the 31st. When you check out, and you will get 20% off your purchase. That's through December 31st. Promo code winter. Visit shop.catholic.com, or I should probably say the brand new, beautiful, exciting, and mobile-friendly shop.catholic.com, and take a look at all the great deals we have. 20% off your order until December 31st. And I will remember that at least till the end of this hour. Our guest this hour, John Leonetti, the author of The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do. Lots, and as a matter of fact, calls just flooding us now, John. So we're going to continue with Brian in Des Moines, Iowa. Brian, you are on with John Leonetti.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. John, I wanted to ask this question sort of as a follow-up of something you said earlier. How successful would husbands be? We told our wives to get over themselves, and then the second question would be, what role do you think the liturgy has in helping us get over ourselves and curb our desires and conform our wills more fully to Christ?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I appreciate the question. Yeah, it's everything. By the way, I would not go that first route with the wife. In fact, I was given a talk. Someone giving a talk, and there's a huge line, and this guy, he says, his wife's right in front of me, he says, well, she needs this book, and you saw about 25 people just look at this guy, right? So that is not the route you're going to go, right? You're not going to win souls doing that. But I do think, and by the way, it is a mutual getting over yourself, and every woman out there, every wife knows it's just as much them as their husbands. We all have the road to travel here and a lot of work to do. We're all a mess, and as I said before, we need a Savior. When it comes to the liturgy, that's the first greatest gift that our Lord has given us. I say in the book, the second greatest gift to conquer the world's greatest sin is pride. The first is the Mass. When we plug ourselves into the Mass, because what does the Mass do is it reorders us from the chaos and the disorder of our everyday life, who does it order us towards? It orders us to God. In fact, that's it right there. It orders us to God, away from ourselves. I'm oftentimes kind of disheartened at the culture's hijacking of many of our prayers or just ways of spirituality, I guess you would say. And I think one of the ways they've done that is really kind of confusing or lying to us about what meditation is. I have a good friend, and she once said to me, John, I meditate on a regular basis. And I said, well, good. I said, how do you meditate? She said, well, I get to know me better. And I said, gross, right? Like, what do you mean you get to know you better? I'm a mess. I don't need to get to know me any better, right? What is meditation? To the world, it's turning inwards on ourselves. Our Holy Father constantly talks about this in so many of his homilies. It's turning in on ourselves to the world. What is meditation? It is reaching to God. It's turning away from ourselves. It's denying ourselves, taking up our cross, as Jesus says, reaching to him. And sometimes it's difficult to do. You know, I have a two-year-old when I go home, and she's either going to run up to me with her arms up, you know, ready for dad to come down and pick her up, or she's going to be squirreling around and she's not going to want dad to pick her up and give her a smooch. I'm going to pick her up and give her a smooch either way. It's just a matter of if she's going to, you know, open her arms up to dad or if she's going to wiggle around. If you've ever tried to pick up a scrawny, wiggly two-year-old, you understand just how difficult that can be. And sometimes that's us. So the Mass reorients us. The Mass lifts our minds and our hearts. The Mass moves us in a direction. Our bodies, everything takes form now away from ourselves, lifting, raising our minds and our hearts to God. So that's the key. It's essential. That's why daily Mass is a must, I think, for many people. Not just Sundays, but also as often as you can daily.
Brian, thank you very, very much for that call. We go now to Anonymous in Roseville, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for John Leonetti.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just a quick question. As a busy mom, how do I, or what are the ways that I could get over myself in this, you know, busy daily life that I have? You know, in just simple ways, you know, to be more happier, to be more just getting over myself, basically.
Sure. I mean, I guess I'd have to know a little bit more about your life or maybe some of those struggles. Do you find yourself maybe comparing your life to other people? Kind of got a sense of that. Maybe not.
It's just hard when I'm the only one working in our family. And I really wanted to just be more spiritual, you know, just I have this longing that I always wanted to, you know, because of course I wanted to basically be more spiritual, but then because of my busy life, I'm a mom of two, I'm a breadwinner, and it's hard mm-hmm. for me to kind of just find ways to just like getting over myself, getting over, you know, the demands of everyday living.
Sure. First of all, it sounds like you're doing it. It sounds like you're practicing this the best way that you can. So don't be too hard on yourself here. Don't beat yourself up when it comes to this, because it sounds like you're working hard. You're providing for your family, which is wonderful. I would look if you're trying to find, this is what I'm always constantly trying to tell myself. If you're trying to find a happiness outside of God, you're going to fail 100% of the time. Just 100% of the time is never going to leave us happier. So I don't know if there's some ways that you can take a daily prayer time. I think that's important. If you have that time with our Lord in that busyness that you have, and it sounds like you're pretty busy, if you can take time to eat during the day, if you can take time to listen to this show, you can take time for prayer. And that's a challenge for all of us, right? Prayer is the food to our soul. And that's where I think, you know, all of us have to start. It might be a good place for you to start if you can get on a regular, routine prayer life, find a space, a sacred space, maybe even have a priest come and bless it, that sacred space, or maybe it's at a church or an adoration chapel, which would be wonderful. And take 10 minutes alone with the Lord. And if you just got to start by being silent, fine. That's God's language, is silence. He speaks that really, really well. sometimes too well in my life, but he speaks it very, very well. So start there, right? Plug yourself into a deep rooted relationship with the Lord in just a simple prayer life. And I think you'll find, I really do, even amongst the chaos and the busyness, A, that you'll find time if you take it seriously, and B, I think you'll find yourself in a different position a year from now if you do it the next 364 days.
Anonymous, your response.
Thank you. It's just that, you know, I'm a nurse by profession, and sure. I have one is six and one is 14 months old. And it's just, you know, it's hard to wake up in the morning and find time. But thank you. I will do that. It's been just like, yeah, chaotic, and it just needs to stabilize, or I don't know. Maybe.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. You remain on the line. Give Nick or whoever your address, and I'll send you a free book. How about that?
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
And thank Absolutely. You. I'm very happy that you called, because of our, I think we have about 2 billion listeners to this show, and about 1 billion of them are moms who mm-hmm. are, you know, and I, my own view, and Anonymous, you can tell me if you think I'm off on this, is that the modern world is too hard on moms. It's not a friend to motherhood. And so moms end up feeling very, very beaten down. It's not because of anything they did. It's because that's the way the world is constructed, to be unfriendly to moms, to be difficult on moms these days.
Yeah. Do you have a relationship with Our Lady, Anonymous? You would know if you had a relationship with her. So here's what I want you to do, Anonymous. I want you to start with a novena. It's Pope Francis's favorite favorite devotion to Our Lady, and it's one of mine. It really is beautiful, and this novena has helped me out a lot. And if you have Google, you can Google it. It's Our Lady Undoer of Knots. Have you ever heard of her?
No.
Undoer or Untier of Knots. I talk about her in the last chapter of the book as well. And if there's knots in your life, and who doesn't have knots in their life, go to Our Lady. She's the new Eve. She undoes or loosens the knot of sin. That was, of course, through Eve that Our Lady, the new woman, the new mother, now comes to kind of loosen some of those knots. So take up that devotion with her if you can, and get to know her a lot better. I think you'll find a lot of graces flowing through her most immaculate heart. And I think she has a weakness for mothers like you, too. So I would go there.
Amen to that. Anonymous, thank you very, very much for that call. Real pleasure to talk with you. We go now to Dorothy in Walla Walla Walla, Washington. I think I might have hit one too many Wallas. I never know when to stop with the Wallas. Dorothy, you are on with John Leonetti. Your question.
You can say as many Walla Wallas as you want.
Okay, it's just fun.
It is fun. It is lots of fun. My question, sorry if I kind of ramble a little, but how do you get over yourself when you're in a situation where you know that you were right, but you don't want to dwell on it? You want the other person to learn from it, but you don't want to necessarily tie yourself up worrying about it, even though you're like, they need to get over it. You need to get over it. How do you get over it?
I appreciate the question. This is why a lot of times in my parish missions, I lead with the person to forgive the person in our life that's hurt us the most. And that might just be the brother or sister that's taken too much of the inheritance from mom and dad, right? Because if there's anything that I think a lot of families are struggling with today that I hear about a lot, it's there, right, with their own brothers and sisters or moms and dads. I don't know if this person's a family member of yours, and I hope is the person or the situation safe, meaning not abuse or anything like this?
No, not at all.
Then I would suggest, not knowing a lot about the situation, one thing that's really helped me, and if it's safe, if of course, you know, you want to make sure that that's the priority, but spend time with them. Be around them. Invite them to dinner. Invite them to coffee. The more time you spend around with them, the greater the healing is going to be. Call them up on a regular basis. Call them up on their birthdays, on their anniversaries. You're dying to yourself every time you don't want to, because you're never going to be able to do it in your own mind. You know, that's why forgiveness, you know, it is important. It's very difficult to do it isolated or just, you know, again, thinking about it. We're too weak. I'd ask for the grace from our Lord to be able to bring you outside of yourself. And that doesn't mean admitting you were wrong. And maybe it doesn't even mean bringing it up, but it does mean getting out of yourself, talking to them about you know, their kids or their grandkids or whatever it is. But spend time around them. It helped me with people in my own life. And I think it can help a lot of other people as well.
Dorothy, thank you. We have to take a quick break. I probably should confess, I might have exaggerated slightly when I said we had 2 billion listeners. It's just a possible exaggeration. John Leonetti is our guest. The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do is the book. 888-31-TRUTH is our number, and we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Chris Check here, president of Catholic Answers. It's October, the month of the Holy Rosary, and it's also the month Catholic Answers starts its winter sale at shop.catholic.com. We are offering great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s that we carry. We have great new releases in church history, scripture, apologetics, spiritual formation, Bible prophecy, and lives of saints. In other words, something for everyone. What's more, our shop site has been completely redesigned. It's much easier to navigate and use. Indeed, you should visit shop.catholic.com just to see the new site. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family, and I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at incrediblecatholicstore.com. That's incrediblecatholicstore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
John Leonetti, our guest this hour, The Art of Getting Over Yourself and Why You'll Be Happier When You Do is the book. And I'll tell you where you can get it. You can find out more than you want to know about John Leonetti just by going to – maybe not more than you want to know. But you'll find out plenty about John by going to johnleonetti.com. He can come and speak to your group, and he's got all kinds of wonderful publications, johnleonetti.com. But if you want the book, The Art of Getting Over Yourself, just go to getoveryourself.me. getoveryourself.me. Is that, I got that all correct, John?
That's it. Not .com, .me.
Right. getoveryourself.me. Carlton and Leah in Austin, Texas, listening on 98.3 FM. You are on with John Leonetti. Your question, please.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking our call. We're just,
sure.
Leah and I are here in the car driving up to Dallas, and we saw the billboard on the side of the road, and we had actually been in a conversation about this topic. And I think it's just a blessing from the Lord that we tuned in right in this at this moment.
But, all right,
you
awesome.
Know, I had a question, and you know, Leah had something to follow up. But you know, we were just talking, and as a young student, and I'm in my senior year, getting ready to graduate and experience other things. Leah and I, our relationship is growing every day, and I was just, through the process of developing this book and compiling your resources and really targeting your research in the scripture, I wanted to just get a glimpse of and just kind of get into the head of how the process of disciplining yourself in this way kind of worked. Because I think one of the biggest obstacles in my life that I've experienced is this notion of discipline to truly, let yourself slow yourself, let yourself humble yourself down. And Leah has something else to say as well.
Hi, John. I just wanted to tell you that Hi. I was just wanting to tell you that I love the ministry that you're bringing, and I think your name is pretty awesome because John, you know, John 1:19 says that think of others' opinion greater than your own. And for me, at least, and Carlton and our relationship, there's no greater motivation than to know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And that's the greatest love that there is.
Amen,
sister.
Well,
I appreciate
sister.
That.
John,
you,
your
Carlton
response.
Leah. Yeah, my response is simple. When I actually become what it is that I wrote in this book, I'll let you guys know. you know, as I said before, this is a letter to me. And I say this in all seriousness. Guys, this is so important to know. I'm a mess. You know, I mean, I have the same struggles and difficulties that everyone else has. I am a very imperfect man. I've had a conversion in my life and constantly trying to have a reversion back to my faith every morning that I wake up. But I, you know, I'm a mess. In fact, my wife was once asked, I travel speaking about 7 months out of the year. And she was asked how she stays married to a man who travels 7 months out of the year. And she said, because he travels 7 months out of the year. Right. So, I mean, I don't get this that well. That's why I'm Catholic. And that's why I plug into the church, because my ideas don't work and they never have. And they certainly wouldn't have allowed a church that's gone through what it's gone through to still be around 2017 years later. That's why I'm Catholic. That's why I'm all in. Because again, 100% of the time when I try to do it myself, and that's why I think, you know, community within our church is so important. When of course, with one another, this idea in our world today, this illusion of self-sufficiency, I can do it all on my own, is killing us. It's killing us. That again, we need to reach out of ourselves. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. And the Catholic Church, I believe, and I go to my grave, God willing, saying it, is the best and most perfect way out there to be able to do it and to become the person, the joy-filled, happy, loving, caring, selfless person God has intended you to be right there at the cross.
Carlton and Leah, thank you very, very much for that call. We go now to an anonymous caller in San Francisco, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anonymous, your question for John Leonetti.
Hey, Cy. I love you. Thank you for everything.
Leonetti, John Leonetti. Yeah.
Leonetti, excuse me. I'm a cradle Catholic, and, you know, I made a dumb mistake over the years. I got a DUI 9 years ago. It's going to be 10. Learned my lesson. I repented, I confess, and however, each time I get an employment, there's times, I guess, you know, through the grapevine, someone spilled the beans that I have a DUI. Mm-hmm. And so once in a while, someone will say a snarky remark, or they'll say a remark about how drunkards or losers or what have you. And I know, you know, I am forgiven by God's, you know, grace, and I'm very grateful and thankful, but how do I get over that when I hear those terrible comments?
Early on, before I started speaking, I worked with, I taught a class through St. Gregory Retreat Center here in Des Moines, which is helping so many different people in a Catholic sense that are struggling with addiction to alcohol and drug. St. Gregory Retreat Center. Look it up if you need or have someone that you know needs help there. And I taught weekend classes for people that got DUIs, the classes that you were probably required to go to, or that many people were required to go to. And the first thing I said to them is when I was standing up there, as I said, first and foremost, this was a bad mistake. And you know that. And I'm not here to beat you up, and I'm not going to be here to do it. But I'm going to tell you this. There is hope after it if you choose to go that route. I hope you've forgiven yourself first and foremost, because, yeah, it was stupid, but we have all made stupid decisions. I think one of the biggest tragedies is where that kind of hangs on, or you're hanging on to it yourself. What's my best advice to be able to handle that? I think look at the person straight in the eye and say, I made a really stupid decision. Thank God that I'm here today because of it. You know, and I hope that many others are going to be able to say the same thing. I think this is where the church is going in sense of evangelization, is personal witness, not personal witness of perfect people. The church isn't a museum of saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. You know, that's what it is. Every time we go to church, it's the world says it's because we're perfect and we got our lives all put together. No, I need a Savior. And maybe it's even a good time for you to be able to evangelize a little bit in your faith. Say, can you believe how far that I've come in my relationship with the Lord Jesus now that I've met him? And I realize all the past regrets that I've gone through and the past things that I have. Turn it into a personal witness. Turn it into a testimony. And let people hear about it. Don't be afraid of that, of using past mistakes or struggles. And I talk about that. People can't forgive themselves in the book. And that's huge for a lot of people. Or past mistakes or regret. I've made a ton of ridiculously stupid decisions. We all have. And we're all going to continue to. But I think the best thing we can do as Catholics is to use those in our brokenness as the source, the very source now of evangelization and encounter. And I think you'll probably find people not push too far back on that if you have to go there.
Okay, Anonymous?
Beautiful. I feel so liberated. Thank you so much. You're right.
God bless you.
God bless you. And thank you very, very much for that call. Let's see if we can get another call in before the top of the hour. We go now to Bob in Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Bob, your question for John Leonetti. And Bob, it's got to be kind of quick because we are getting near the end of the hour.
I don't know if I can do that, but Cy, I'm listener 1,999,000,000.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
That's me, yeah. Hey, listen, John, I want to, my neighbor has a 10-acre vineyard, and he grows grapes, and he sells the grapes to vineyards in my local area. And he's been using a propane cannon to scare the birds off of his grapes. And I feel like beating the crap out of him.
And well, that probably wouldn't be a good idea. Have you talked to him about it?
What?
Have you talked to him about it?
I've talked to him about it. He's a practicing Catholic. I'm Catholic. I've said to him, you know, the covenant of this is how you're supposed to treat your neighbor. How dare you do this? I work till 1:30 in the morning. He starts firing this thing off at 8:30 in the morning. It goes every 3 minutes, three gunshot sounds in different patterns, and it is absolutely ridiculous. And I can't reach the man. He did it last year. He started again this year. And I just really just want to hurt him, and I just get over it. And so,
well, Bob, let's John, because we don't have a lot of time. And Bob, it's very, I appreciate the call. It's a very specific circumstance.
It is. John, I can honestly tell you, I did not expect a question like this. And to be honest, I'm not really that prepared for it. But I obviously, you know, that hurting him or doing something physical in that nature or anything that would cause hurt on your brother would be horrendous and terrible. And I really, really beg you as a brother in Christ to let that one go just right now. And if you need help in that, I would seek counseling. I would talk to your pastor, and I would go to confession, stay close to the sacraments, of course, if there's that kind of anger boiling up in you. I got to just go practical. I'd talk to the police. I'd, you know, call up people in my life that I know can maybe handle things like this and maybe get it resolved civilly. But in the meantime, pray for the grace that you can continue to forgive him. And maybe every time that gun goes off, you say Hail Mary for him and for his conversion there.
Bob, I'm so sorry we didn't have more time, but I do appreciate that call. Thanks you to all our callers this hour. Next hour, Father Philip Bochansky will be here. We're going to end the week talking about the glory of God and our sexuality, and particularly about same-sex attraction. And in a joyful, hopeful way about God's love for each and every single person. John Leonetti, author of The Art of Getting Over Yourself, thanks for being with us this hour.
I really appreciate it, Cy. God bless you.
Let me just give this out again. JohnLeonetti.com or getoveryourself.me for more information on The Art of Getting Over Yourself and why you'll be happier when you do. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live. Fire the...